Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, my guest is RK3 Robert Kennedy III. Robert is an author, he's a speaker, he's a coach, he's a consultant, he's a trainer. And Robert really believes that your story, that's right, your story deserves a stage. It deserves a platform. It deserves to be heard. We had a great conversation. So listen up. Now, before we jump into the conversation with RK3, I just want to thank you for supporting the Leading While Green podcast. Been a pleasure watching it grow over the past year or so with your listenership. Thank you for the 5-star reviews on iTunes. Thank you for sharing it on social media. Thank you for everyone who posted to their Instagram. Just thank you for being a part of this community. Now, I told you in the last episode that I'm working on a special project, working on my leadership intensive. That's right, my digital leadership intensive. And I want you to be first in line to get that digital leadership intensive. We do some leadership 101 for emerging leaders, and it's really, really good stuff. So hop over to my website, prcquinn.com, and just wait for the pop-up to show up. It'll come up in about 5 seconds. Sign up for my email list, and I'll be sure to let you know when my leadership intensive drops. Now, Robert Kennedy III has been called a powerful leadership communicator, but at his core, he's a teacher and trainer. When he speaks, he challenges everybody, employees, executives, and business leaders to take accountability for their current circumstance and then create a bigger future for themselves. We have a great conversation about life, about leadership, about learning in community, and about why you need to be a better teller of your story. Listen up to our conversation. As our guest on this episode of the podcast, it's RK3, Robert Kennedy III. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, glad to be here, brother.
Now, if you don't know RK3, if you don't know Robert Kennedy III, that's on you. You need to get to know this guy. He's an author. He's a keynote speaker. He's a trainer. He's a coach. He's an all-around good guy and one of the best keynote speakers I have ever heard. And I don't throw that around lightly. And Robert and I are going to have a conversation about life and leadership today. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling amazing, man. Can't complain. People don't like listening to complaints anyhow, so I just don't do them.
No, they file them under, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Yeah.
So to kick off, man, I just want to say thank you. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. But a couple of years ago, you called me and asked me to be on your podcast.
Yeah.
And that was maybe about a year and a half after my first venture into podcasting. And wow, after your podcast episode, I said, man, I need to get back into this thing. So, and we've been cranking this thing out for over a year now.
Wow.
And it's been really cool. But I wanted to just personally thank you for being the catalyst that had me rethink my podcast dreams.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that, man. You're welcome. Whatever I can do, unknowingly especially.
So let's talk about what you do knowingly. You got a lot of hats, and I know a bit more of your story than most people, but what comprises the scope of your work today?
Wow, that's a big question. So I'll whittle it down to this. I deal with leaders around leadership and communication. So a lot of leaders in organizations are there. Some are there by title. Some are there because they've just made it up the ladder for one reason or another. But ultimately, in order to be effective, in order to be impactful and influential in your organizations, you got to deal with people. And you've got to share your ideas with people. And a lot of leaders just take that for granted. And they don't know how to present their information in a way that connects with people. Sometimes that's presentations. Sometimes that's casual conversation, but whatever it is, we still got to connect with people because they're people, right? And yeah. So that's really what the heart of what I do. Outside of that, man, I'm a dad. I'm a sometimes whenever they call me basketball coach, referee, whatever, All of that, man. I'm actually, one of the new things that I'm doing this year is I'm starting a speakers club at my kid's school.
Nice. This year.
So that's kind of a new thing that I'm doing. That's actually going to start up next week. So they're waiting for me to send out emails and all of that. But they're excited about it, man.
You know, no, normally on podcasts, you know, we do shameless plugs either at the very beginning or we do them at the very end. Man, let's throw in a shameless plug right now. Let's talk to the folks about the community that you have of communicators. Oh,
wow. Communicators. So we've got what I call the Speak Right Now community. And the goal and the idea in that is to really just empower 1 million people to share their stories through speaking or writing. And so there are a lot of people there. We've all got a story, man. We've all got things that happen in our lives daily. And some of us enjoy it. And some of us look at it and complain about it. And we say, why me? And we do all of that. But the truth is, man, everything that happens to you, all of that is for a reason. That's your story. And I say your story deserves a stage because you got to help somebody else figure out how to navigate their journey. And one of the ways to do that is by sharing with them yours and how you made it through.
So let's back up a little bit. That allows us to transition into this. So how did you know that this area of speaking, of coaching, of training, of helping people develop their stories, how did you know that this was the space that you're called to be in and called to operate in?
Man, I didn't know. it's all a journey. It's just being not afraid to try some things, man. So I'll let your listeners in on a little bit of my journey. So I was a teacher. I mean, I started out of college as in the mental health field, and I moved from there into teaching. So I was a teacher, science teacher, for 10 years. And moving out of science, I was dabbling around in radio and a few different things. And, you know, I say that God has always had the communication space right smack dab in the middle of whatever I did. I just didn't always recognize it. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, messing with that, I started a business where I was interviewing gospel artists about their journeys and their projects. And so the interviewing, I started an online radio station doing all of that. So that was my business. And I was doing all of that while I was teaching. And then when I moved out of teaching, I moved into developing online courses. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that I was teaching people software. But ultimately what I was teaching them and what they were asking me was, how do I make this idea clear? How do I allow people to listen to this in a language, in a way that they understand, and then they can move based on that? You know, because we don't like just chucking stuff on a screen and having them click through it. We want to be able to communicate with them. And so all of that, man, just kind of led to the interest in connecting and communicating and speaking even more. And so I joined Toastmasters in 2014. And, you know, sometimes you have this thing where random people ask you questions out of the blue that people that you have either never met in person or never met. And so I kept getting this question, are you speaking? Are you speaking? I'm like, no, what are you talking about? So it kept coming. So I just decided to put some of the education and the knowledge and the study behind it. And as I did that, the love of it blossomed. And I just wanted to start sharing that with people. And for me, every time I do something new, I don't just try to do it myself. I try to take people on the journey with me, either through a challenge or something, or forming a community around it or something like that. So all of that, as I'm building, as I'm growing, I form things and it just becomes a part of my journey. And I love it even more, man. So right now I'm convinced that's where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, and my guest is Robert Kennedy III. I mean, this guy, okay, so I'm a little, I've been following RK3 before we formally met, and we operated in the same circles, and once we had that first conversation and really connected, I mean, can speak to us a little bit about the power of collaboration and the need for leaders and influencers, as you said, to bring people along, to share the journey. I know we've worked on things together, but how beneficial is it to create this community and partnerships?
Man, it's essential. It's critical. You've got to do it. I mean, there's the song or the verse that says, no man is an island. No man stands alone. You know, and so I was, especially when you grew up in the United States or you grew up in Western civilization, you're taught this idea of independence.
Yeah.
Right. And we hear that word and we think that means, listen, I got to do it on my own. I've got to accomplish this thing on my own. And we do that and we waste so much time because there's this big old tank or car outside and we're trying to push it ourselves when we've got to recognize the goal isn't to push it. The goal is to get to the finish line or to get to a certain place. So if you want to get there, you got to use community. You got to use other people. I mean, the African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to collaborate, man. It's essential.
Now I taught college courses for close to a decade. Most of the time I was teaching freshman speech, freshman communication. And I noticed in the collegiate setting, how many people shy away from that course, that introductory speech course, or they take it lightly. And then by the time they become working professionals, they're like, oh, snap. Like, yep. I should have paid more attention. Talk to us about the impact. What's the impact of being able to communicate clearly and with confidence on a person's professional career?
Listen, so if you believe in listening to people who have cachet or have status, listen to the third or fourth richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, right? And Warren Buffett said that he was actually doing a speech, I believe it was at Columbia University in 2009. And he said that if you know how to communicate and speak in public effectively, that immediately makes you 50% more valuable to any organization, right? As a matter of fact, he himself told the story of how he was frightened of public speaking. And he took a Dale Carnegie course on public speaking way back in the day, right? And so he actually signed up for it first and he chickened out and he didn't take it, right? And so he was just kind of messing around. But then when he finally got up the nerve or the courage to do it, he found that it catapulted him in the world that he was in, because now he was able to move into any room. You know, and Warren Buffett's not this big, showy, flashy, charismatic dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But he's somebody now who is able to understand the value of his ideas and then share those with others in a way that allows them to see the value as well. You know, and so if you are, and all of us have experienced this, right? Mm-hmm. You go into a public setting or a corporate setting and you see some person in a position and you're like, man, they're not smarter than me. Man, they don't know any more than I do. Mm-hmm. Man, they don't work any harder than me. As a matter of fact, they probably work less than I do. I'm a hard worker. The difference is that they have the skill. They have acquired the skill, either intentionally or unintentionally, of communicating effectively with others and connecting with people so that people can know who they are. They can create visibility and they can, you know, speakers move the world, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I can. Winston Churchill, you know, Barack Obama, you name anybody that has moved the world. They were a speaker. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Name them. They all have developed the skill of speaking.
Oh, okay. So what about this notion of it's just kind of a natural born thing. You know, I was never good at it. I was never good up front. I'm too old to learn. It can never work for me. I should just give up hope.
Then you should just give up hope. if you're thinking like that, then go ahead and do that. But I like to share with people, listen, if I forgot who said it to me, but they said, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so whatever it is, you've got to focus on what's the result that I want? You know, what's the thing that I hope to accomplish? And I'll bring it to the realm of entrepreneurship and I'll speak about people who think they're too old. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to a speech by Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, Gary V.
So Gary V was saying, he was listening to this study that said the most successful entrepreneurs or the people that have the most success in their businesses that they start, usually don't start businesses until the age of 50.
Wow.
Right? So people around the age of 50 that decide that they're going to go into entrepreneurship are amongst the most successful ones. So, I mean, here you are, people, we compare ourselves. We're like, listen, Martin Luther King died at 38 and Malcolm X died at and I'm like 43 and I ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so mm-hmm. we talk ourselves down when the truth is, man, your best is ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not too late to decide that you're going to learn a new skill. And then even if it's only for the fact that, listen, if you learn how to do this, you can be a mentor to somebody else who's 20. All right. And that's yeah. legacy. That's impact beyond your years, man. You know, so we've got to continue to figure out, you know, not have the quit mindset and think, OK, my time is almost up. But how can I continue to maximize? What can I do today that's going to help me continue to grow?
You know, make a plug for learning communities. I know you're a part of you did the Toastmasters thing, some professional organizations that you created content for. I know it's like almost 2 years later, but I finally signed up as a member of NSA, and that was partially because of your suggestion. But make a plug or a pitch for these learning communities, either online or in person, and why they're valuable for our professional growth.
Man, I like reaching out to different authors or people that have poignant things that just sit on me. And one of those was a guy named Jim Rohn. And mm-hmm. Jim Rohn had a statement that said, you're the average of the five people closest to you.
Yeah.
Right? So I've got to look at who I'm hanging out with. Who are the people? I mean, I like to joke and say my family, I got my wife and three kids, that's four. So I got to be careful with my number five, right? I got to pick, choose why.
Yeah.
So, and if we each look at it objectively and we look at all the people that hang around with, and then let's look at the amount of money you make. What's your salary? And if you look really careful, you'll notice that the majority of your friends that you hang out with regularly, honestly, make around the same amount that you do within, you know, give or take a few thousand or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you got similar houses, you got similar cars, you're at similar places in life. Let's look at the flip side. People who are wealthy, who do they hang out with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want to get to a certain place, where do you need to hang? So I believe in joining Toastmasters as a place to start my journey of speaking. And that was a learning community that got me around people who were intentional about becoming better speakers. And because of that, I was in a place where, okay, I could have certain conversations. And then after that, I joined National Speakers Association, right? So National Speakers Association, I joined because I go to the National Speakers Association convention, Influence, in the summer. And man, I'm sitting at the same table with Willie Jolly and Les Brown, and Joel Block, and people that are making, you know, $1.5 million for just speaking.
Yeah.
For talking, man. So if I want to craft a career, I'm not going to hang in the pen with the chickens. I'm out in the prairies with the lions, and lions ain't in prairies, but you know what I'm saying.
We were going with you.
Right. So I'm going to be in a community that expands my learning. I'm going to be in a community that pushes me to grow, because if I don't push myself to grow, then I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to fit in to that community. So I've got to rise up and get to that place.
So you come from a family, you know, strong family, gifted, talented individuals, speakers, musicians, all of that. So that influence is definitely seen in your life. But what if I come from a rough space, man? I'm trying to be a working professional. I'm a fiddiac. I'm a first time at any college or university. Troubled past growing up. Nobody else is on this wavelength. But now you're saying I got to get around different people. Are you saying I got to change the people I've hung around, like family, friends? I mean, isn't that, what about loyalty? What about these bonds that I've created? You just give all of that up?
In a word, yeah. No, so you don't give it all up. You don't give it all up, but you do have to make changes. You've got to decide what you're going to do. So I say it this way. You've got to now decide, once you decide you're going to grow, you've got to decide who are your 3-minute friends and who are your 3-hour friends.
That's good. That's
right? Good. So there's some people that I hung with in the day that from my hood that I'm loyal to. but I can't sit on the porch with them anymore and just chill for hours because I've now got a goal. I've now got something that I want to pursue. And who's going to help me get there? Where's the community that's going to help me rise and give me the resources or even just the knowledge or even the motivation and inspiration to get mm-hmm. there? You know, so, you know, I don't know anybody that is influential that just hangs out on the block all week. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody like that. And people talk themselves down. You got to start reading stories. So you look at I'll use this example, but you look at Donald Trump or you look at a lot of other people and they came from money. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so some people kind of think, man, if I'm going to be successful, I got to come from there. But then you read the other stories. You look at Richard Branson, right?
Yeah.
One of the richest dudes in the world owns over 400 companies.
Good story. Yeah.
Right. And Richard Branson didn't come from money. Mm-mm. His parents were broke. Okay. And aside from that, Richard Branson was dyslexic. And so he had a rough time in school. Right. But at some point there's a flash point there. At some point, there's a crossroads. There's something that causes you to say, you know what? This ain't enough for me. Mm. I'm more. Mm. You know, I was built for better. I was built to make a difference. I was built for something bigger than this. And then once you do that, you start changing your space, man. You start putting up signs. You start releasing and moving yourself from negativity. Mm. Okay. And you surround yourself with possibility and dream. And once you begin to do that, man, it's limitless, man. You can do so much.
Well, let me push back a little.
Okay.
What about the perspective that this kind of feeling, this itch, desire of, you know, thinking I'm built for more, I'm called for more. What about the people who say that's just the curse of youth or a generation that has lost an idea of loyalty? Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day when we worked, if you didn't like the company, whatever, you just worked, you put food on the table and the job well done was its reward. And this idea of kind of branching out is just characteristics of people who are not okay with being settled.
Well, I mean, so there are different generations and different opportunities and options mm-hmm. within generations. And I would say that now we have so much more accessible to us. And the network, the World Wide Web era gives us so much more access to hearing what people are saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. But back in the day, you still had people that knew and just knew that they were built for more mm-hmm. and they wanted to do more. And so if you look at every technology that we have, right? If you look at airplanes, if you look at telephones, if you look at electricity, if you look at the theory of relativity and all of the things, all of these people were people that people in their community told them they were crazy. Mm-hmm. They told them they were nuts. They told them they were nothing and they were never going to amount to anything. Right. And so these are people that changed the world, man. And so, and there are so many stories, even the ones that we don't know about on an everyday basis. Right. There are people we wait to go Black History Month to hear about some of these people as well. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, so Garrett mm-hmm. Morgan invented the stoplight and so many other inventions. Right. And so these are people that were back then before big technology, but they were dreamers and they were people that decided that what the place that they were born into was not enough. They knew that there was a bigger world out there and so much bigger in their mind that everybody else thought that they were insane. So this is not new, man. Hmm. We just have more access now to information and are able to see a little bit more about what people are up to. And so that it looks like, okay, yeah, we're moving out of the loyalty era. We're not. We just have access to more dreamers right now.
I love the quote by Henry Ford that says, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. Mm-hmm. And this idea of, you know, his dreaming that revolutionized the automobile industry. And I think for a lot of us, we're okay with walking in or participating in the dreams of other people.
Yeah.
But when it comes to us, I mean, think of people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs who revolutionized personal computing. And they're such an intricate part of our everyday lives. But yep. Now we say, okay, Robert, it's time for you to dream. I'm not down for that. Or we push back on that idea.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it's what's the word I want to say? It's based on perspective, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have, like I said, so much more that we're seeing right now, and unfairly in some ways we've divided ourselves, and we start poking at quote unquote millennials.
Yeah.
And we start poking at different generations about how they do certain things when how they're doing it now, that those ideas were always there.
Always
the dreams
there.
Were always there. It's just that some groups just didn't feel like they had the options, or they were not brave enough or courageous enough at the time to step forward, at least in larger numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now it's kind of like, okay, you got the internet, you see that some dude in Philippines is doing this, and some person in Dubai is doing this. So that's a little courage pill right there. Okay. Yep. I can do this. I can ask these questions. If you don't want to do it here, I can hire somebody else.
Absolutely.
To help me do it. You know, and so that we just got more access now. That's about it.
Speaking of access, your career, the network that you're developing, the connections you've made, have allowed you to stand in some pretty important, influential rooms in your career. How do you deal with Lolly Daskal describes as imposter syndrome? 95% of C-suite executives deal with this idea of, you know, maybe I'm going to be found out tomorrow, that I'm not perfect, that I don't know everything. How do you feel how do you deal with that in the certain rooms? You're training, you're coaching, it's 10 people, it's 100, it's a big stage, it's a small stage. How do you personally wrestle with imposter syndrome?
Oh my goodness. It's every day. I'll put it that way. Every day, because there are times where I walk into a room and I'm on a stage and I look out and there are 500 people, or there are 1,000 people, or 1,500 people. And I'm saying, why on earth are these people listening to me? What is it that I've got to say that's so doggone groundbreaking or important that they're willing to spend an hour of their time, 90 minutes of their time listening to me? And man, I just get to the point where you realize that everybody is a human being and everybody has feelings and fears and all of the different things that come along with this journey called life. And so I just have made up my mind that I'm just going to give every bit of energy that I've got to each moment. And because if I'm not speaking to all 1,500, I might be speaking just to one.
Hmm.
And it's that one person that needed to hear 5 seconds of what I had to say that might make a difference. You know, and so that I'll say it this way. I was a teacher for 10 years. And in the classroom, you hear students and they act up and they do all sorts of stuff. And literally, there were some students that I stopped teaching in 2003. And it was just earlier this year, two of them hopped on Facebook and they said, "Mr. Kennedy, you were like our best teacher. And you said this, and it made me do this. I remember when you gave me my first CD and you did this, and you said, and you were outside of the flagpole and you prayed with us and you did this." And I'm like, "What? I don't remember that. Did I do that?" You know, so sometimes in the moment when you, and I'll tell you this, back then I felt like, man, I don't know what I'm doing with these kids.
Yeah.
Right.
I know that.
So in that moment where you're feeling like an imposter, if you're able to summon up just 1 millimeter, 1 milligram, 1 ounce of courage, that little ounce, that mustard seed amount is going to make a difference in the life of even one person. And you may not hear it right then, but 20 years down the road, you know, God willing, you're around, you can, you're going to hear something and you're not going to recognize that journey that you're on now was started all the way back then for just that one person. You know, so that makes all the difference for me, man.
Yeah. I might be asking you to repackage what you just said, Maybe, but I want to end on this. There's a person listening to our conversation today, and they're thinking about their story. They're thinking about their training and expertise, and they're on the verge. They're saying, okay, I kind of want to start a blog, but I don't know if people will read it. I want to start a YouTube channel. I don't know if people will watch. I need to write a book. I need to start my business. I need to start coaching other people. I need to start mentoring, but I don't know. I don't know if I can or I should, or if anybody will listen, or if it'll make a difference. And they're kind of on the verge listening to this podcast. Why should they start? Why should they start?
I'll say three words. It doesn't matter. Right. And I'll say it this way, because in 2012, I hired a business coach, and I was expecting him to help me change my business and grow financially. And ultimately what he did was he changed me as a person. And we started talking about what some of the things that I should do and how do I empower others. And at the beginning of this podcast, I shared with you that I take people on the journey with me. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I started to do was I just started to post motivational statements. I just started to post things online. I wasn't trying to be popular. I wasn't trying to get people's attention. I was speaking to me. I was writing. I needed motivation. I needed inspiration. Yeah. I needed to grow. And so I started. Remember, I said, you got to put stuff in your space, right? So I started to put stuff in my space. That space, one of those spaces just happened to be public, right? And so as I'm doing that, other people are kind of linking and they're joining on and they're getting that. And they're looking at me saying, oh, this dude is positive. He's optimistic. He's inspirational. And I'm kind of like, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to pump myself up every day. Okay. And so literally, I mean, I went to New York for a reunion a couple of weeks ago, actually in July. And there was a person that was there. Then they came up to me after, and I emceed this event. And they came to me after and they said, hey, man, every day I open up my Facebook, I go to look what you have to say. I said, why? He said, well, listen, man, my life is hard and I just go through some stuff. And to know that there's one person out there who just has a positive outlook on things, it just makes such a difference for me. And I'm kind of like, man, that wasn't why I intended to do it. But look at the byproduct, right? So if it's just that you decide that you're going to write this book because you want to talk to yourself, if you decide that you just want to start this business because you're just trying to see what comes of it, you know, make the step, leap. Steve Harvey says, jump. Martin Luther King says, faith is taking the step even when you can't see the whole staircase, right? Yeah, this is not about everybody else. In a lot of cases, it's really about you and your personal growth, and the outgrowth of that is a blessing for others.
Incredible conversation with Robert Kennedy III. And I want you to check him out. I want you to follow up with him on Facebook. He has the Speak Right Now community, and we'll put that link in the show notes so that you can get involved in that community to grow as a writer, to grow as a storyteller. Check him out on social, on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, Robert Kennedy III. That's in the show notes as well. I'm telling you, that was a great conversation, and there's more to come. And I hope you take what you heard today and you put it into practice. I want to thank you, because I know with the hundreds of you who listen to this every month, I know you're just itching to hop over to iTunes and leave a review or leave some comments on social or share this in an email, a text message. Let people know about the Leading Wild Green movement. And until next time, take care. God bless.